Well, if you could turn with me again to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, and we'll continue on from where we're reading, verse 11 through to the verse 14. Genesis 22, reading from verse 11. And again, the Word of God says, "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Amen. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Let us just pray, seeing God's face again as we come to his word. Oh Lord, we acknowledge that, Father, we need thy help as we come to thy word. And Lord, we pray for the Spirit of God indeed to speak to us this day from the precious word of God. And we ask, Lord, that each one desire that God would speak to him this day. And Lord, we long to hear thy voice. We pray that, Lord, it would indeed be so for thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. My text for today is found there in Genesis 22 and the verse 14, and particularly the phrase that we read there, that Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And of course we know that that name means the Lord will provide. And this is the first of the Jehovah statements in Scripture. And it is noteworthy that God reveals himself first as the provider. You see, given that we are entirely dependent upon God for our life and for our salvation, what a blessed truth this is. You see, Jehovah is the one who meets our needs. Now, this fact is true whether we are saved or whether we are not. We are dependent creatures because our existence is derived. In Acts 17 and verse 25, it says that God has given to all life and breath and all things. And you see, this truth is not affected by our moral condition, but it applies to every creature. For example, if you think of Adam, this was true of him before the fall and after the fall. However, since the fall, man's needs have enlarged. A new element has been added entirely, that of man's need of a Savior. Now man not only is dependent upon God for his physical needs, but he needs one who can reverse the effects of the fall and who can restore him back to God. And therefore, when we look at the state of man as he is in the world today, we realize that he is at the mercy of God, and that without the Lord, he is devoid of hope. He has no hope without God. And for that reason, we should rejoice, because God is the God of love. You see, the Lord that we depend upon is the God of love. And it is from God's character of love that his provisions flow to us. And it is God's power that enables our needs to be met. You see, God provides for us and our needs, both in regard to the body and the soul, both in regard for time and for eternity. And as we consider this passage here in 22, Genesis chapter 22, Abraham gives the name of Jehovah Jireh to the Lord because the Lord had most seasonably provided the sacrifice of the ram caught in the thicket. You see, Abraham was able to testify of this truth that he gives. He was satisfied that the Lord loved him and that the Lord provided for him. You see, the name was given within the context of God providing for him. And therefore, Abraham knew this truth and he declared it as such. He called the name of God Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And I want to consider that name with you this morning. I want you to notice with me firstly that this name reveals the omniscience of God. This name reveals the omniscience of God. The word Jireh there in the Hebrew, it means to see. And thus it has the sense of seeing and providing for. That is what the name Jehovah Jireh really means. The Lord has seen and the Lord provides. If you look there in verse 14, notice how Scripture describes it. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the word there seen in English is the very same word in the Hebrew, Jireh. And so it has this double sense of seeing and providing. You see, the Lord sees and identifies a need and provides for the satisfaction of that need. Now, in this account we have here in Genesis 22, we have a most abundant evidence, an example of this truth. You see, the Lord had told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. And as we know, the plan of God was that Isaac was not to die. We read of that in Hebrews 11. And therefore, another sacrifice was required if Isaac was to live. And God had told Abraham, you are to sacrifice your son. Then another sacrifice was required. And Abraham believed that God could provide this sacrifice. Did you read that there in verse 7? In verse 8, particularly verse 8, where Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. His belief was such that he was unwavering in this fact that God would provide the lamb and the sacrifice. And his belief was realized when the Lord saw the need and intervened in that situation and provided the ram in the stead of Isaac. And therefore we note that God's omniscience and God's providing go hand in hand. You see again, as we see there in verse 14, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. You see, the omniscience of God means that he is all-knowing. His knowledge is exhaustive. And he sees and understands everything. In Psalm 139 and verse 3, the psalmist says that the Lord is acquainted with all his ways. That word acquainted there means to know intimately. And therefore the psalmist is showing that the Lord knows all about us. That is the omniscience of God. And now turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and the verse 8. Matthew 6 and the verse 8. Again, we see demonstrated for us here the omniscience of God. Matthew 6 and the verse 8 says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask of him. See here that the Father knoweth, there's the omniscience of God. And more than that, he knows even before we've even asked. There's the exhaustive knowledge of God. You see, since God sees our needs, even beforehand, even before we know of them, God sees them and is aware of our deficiencies, and therefore he can help us in an adequate and appropriate manner. And what an encouragement this is for the suffering and struggling believer. Perhaps that describes you here today. You are suffering under trials. You are struggling through them. But here is something for you. The Lord not only knows and not only sympathizes with you, but is able to help and to meet you at the very point of your need. You see, friends and family members, they may not entirely understand all that you're going through. They may not entirely understand the pain or the suffering. And they may not be able to sympathize with you. But yet the Lord can. You see, the Lord knows what you're going through more than you do even know. What a comfort that should be to you. You see, knowing the need is necessary to meeting the need. And Abraham could testify of this because he saw the provision of God that day on Mount Moriah. And he could testify of that throughout his entire life. You read the life of Abraham and you will see a life that was blessed and prospered not because of anything that he did, but because the Lord's hand was upon him and God provided for him at every point in his life. But when we think of this truth of the omniscience of God, we have a most important lesson for us to grasp today. Because since God knows all of our needs, then we should pay heed to what he determines is necessary. Let me repeat that for you today. Since God knows all of our needs, then we should pay heed to what he determines is necessary. Now I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 and the verse 33 to explain what I have just said. Matthew chapter 6 and the verse 33. Matthew 6 and the verse 33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You see, here the Lord places a higher priority upon spiritual needs than physical needs. That is the entire point of that verse. God is saying spiritual things, spiritual needs are more important than physical and material needs. And while God does place some value upon physical needs, because we read that he gives to all, richly all things to enjoy. Yes, the physical and material blessings are provided by God for our enjoyment, but yet let us not forget that God is more interested in our spiritual development than in physical or material gain. You think with me of that story of Martha and Mary. When the Lord came to their home and visited them, we read that Martha busied herself preparing a meal for the Lord. And let us not be so critical upon Martha and think she was doing a bad thing, because she wasn't. She was preparing a meal for the Lord. She was seeking to meet his physical needs. There is nothing bad about that. But yet we read that Mary was found at the feet of our Lord, listening to him, being taught of him. And we read that the Lord commended Mary because she chose the better thing. Do you understand what that is saying to you today? It is saying that spiritual things, spiritual needs are more important than physical. And let me say to you today, that means that the Lord is more interested in your spiritual development than he is in your physical needs being met. And that may mean, and yes, this is true and it may be difficult to face, but that may mean that at times God may draw away or pull back physical and material blessings from you in order that you may grow spiritually. Do you understand what that means? There are times when God will take away our comforts, our blessings, in order that we may spiritually grow. Does that not teach to us that God has our spiritual development as a more important thing than our physical? Again, you think of the lives of the Old Testament saints and the sufferings they went through. Think there of Elijah receiving his food from the ravens. Think of John the Baptist eating the honey and the locust in the wilderness. Yes, these men went through physical and material suffering, but what an experience they had with the Lord. What spiritual men they were. Oh, we should indeed seek and desire for our own spiritual life to develop and grow. We've noticed here that this name, Jehovah Jireh, reveals God's omniscience. But then notice with me that this name reveals God's faithfulness. It reveals God's faithfulness. What abundant evidence there is of the faithfulness of God in Abraham's life. Abraham's life is such an example of God's faithfulness, and particularly here in this chapter. You see, what could have been the darkest hour? What could have been the worst moment in Abraham's life? The prospect of losing his son. The prospect of losing his only son, the promised son. The son that had came from Sarah. What a dark hour it was. Traveling those 3 days to Mount Moriah. And yet again, Abraham proves the Lord's goodness. Do we not see here in this passage that the Lord did not forsake him? That the Lord did not forget his promises? We read that Isaac, the promised son, lived. And God provided a sacrifice. And there's the faithfulness of God. And again, we see here that God's faithfulness and God's provision, they go hand in hand. You see, since God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, his faithfulness is consistent. And his provisions, they never fail. You see, the fatherly care that has supplied in the past, it will provide resources for the future. Did not our Lord say that your heavenly Father knoweth what ye need of? Do you realize the significance of those words? Your heavenly Father. And you men here today who are fathers, think of the care that you have for your child. And realize that God's care and God's fatherly relationship with his children is of a more infinite and greater height. Your heavenly Father knoweth what ye have need of. You see, God himself is, as the psalmist described, an ever-present help. He is always there with the supply at hand for every want and for every woe. You turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and the verse 32. And this is so wonderfully described here. Romans 8. And the verse 32, it says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Let me pause today. May you pause as you read that verse and think of the enormity of those words. God did not hold back his own son. He did not spare his own son for your benefit. Does that not teach to us the faithfulness and provision of God? You see, God's nature is to be kind. And no creature has ever had just cause of complaint against him. The history of providence proves both the faithfulness and provision of God. And let me ask you today, can you see the faithfulness of God in your life? Look through it and see how God has been faithful to you. Have you known and experienced God's provision in times of need? You see, the Apostle Paul, he speaks in Philippians that God is able to meet every need. He's able to supply every need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. The apostle, he spoke with assurance. He spoke with confidence. He knew that God was faithful. Let me ask you today, are you so confident? Are you so assured of the faithfulness of God that you can look out into an uncertain future and you can trust him? You can be assured of God's faithfulness. You see, our doubts and our worries about the future merely reveal the fact that we do not believe in the faithfulness of God as we should. May that challenge you today and challenge my heart. Oh, how often we can be filled with worries and with cares. And yet we have a faithful God. Why should we thus worry? We've seen here that this name reveals the omniscience of God. It reveals the faithfulness of God. But then lastly, this name reveals God's Lamb. It reveals God's Lamb. I want you to notice with me in verse 8 of this chapter. It says, "And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering.'" You see, the word there, provide, it is the same Hebrew word, Jireh. And thus Abraham is saying, and if we could paraphrase it, we could put it this way, that he's saying, God will see to it. God will see to it that a lamb will be provided. Now in the immediate context, you will notice that these words were fulfilled. We read that in the verse 13. The ram was provided. The sacrifice was there. The lamb was slain. And Isaac was not slain. And so the promise was fulfilled. But yet these words in verse 8, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering," they have their ultimate fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, not only is the ram a type of Christ as a sacrifice, but here in these words, Abraham, in speaking them, he actually prophesied of the Lord Jesus Christ, because here he saw the Lord by faith as the Lamb. Look at those words. God will provide himself a lamb. They are said by faith, looking to the future, looking to the time when the Son of God would step into human history and die on the cross as the Lamb of God. You look with me in John 8 and verse 56. I want to demonstrate this to you this morning. John chapter 8 and the verse 56. Keeping in mind that Abraham saw Christ by faith as the Lamb of God. Look there in John chapter 8 and the verse 56. And the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking and he said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Now let us keep in mind that our Lord is speaking in his day. Abraham has died and passed away thousands of years earlier. And yet here we read that Abraham saw Christ. He saw the time when the Lord would come and die. How do we read these words? You see, the Lord is saying that Abraham saw Christ by faith. He looked ahead. He looked to the time when the Son of God would become the Lamb. You see, Abraham got a view of Christ as the slain lamb, and the significance of this is realized when we consider man's greatest need. Because man is not merely body, but his soul as well. His soul is dead. His soul is in trespasses and sins, in the bondage and depravity of sin. And therefore, man's greatest need is not physical, it's not material, but his greatest need is for a savior of the soul. You think of that today if you're here and you're unsaved. Perhaps you think you have many things that you need of. Let me tell you today, from God's word, the greatest need that you have as a savior for your never dying soul. You see, this truth reveals our need of Christ, the Lamb of God. Is that not what John the Baptist said? To those of his day, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." John the Baptist pointed to Christ as the greatest need of man, the Lamb of God. And I want you to notice here in Genesis 22 that the Lamb was given by God. You look there in the verse 13. It says, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns." You see, Abraham's faith became sight when he laid eyes on the ram caught in the thicket. And what a moment that was when he realized that God had provided the lamb. God had provided for him the sacrifice. You see, Christ himself was given by God the Father. And he was sent to this earth to be the sacrifice for sinners. You see, our Lord was sent by God the Father to this earth to die for sinful men. Man could not save himself. Man could not provide a sacrifice acceptable to God, and therefore he needed one to die for him. What marvelous words we have there in verse 8. God will provide himself a lamb. Do you realize if you're saved here today, that is, salvation has come because God has provided a lamb. How humbling that is. You did not contribute anything to your salvation. Nothing. But the Lamb was sent by God. And the Lamb suffered on your behalf. And it is on that basis alone that you can approach God. We've noticed that the Lamb was given by God, but then notice that the Lamb took Isaac's place. It took Isaac's place. You see, Isaac there was bound. We read that in the verse 9, that Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Isaac was about to be slain. But the Lord stepped in, provided the lamb. And what do we find there in verse 13? That Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. You see, the lamb took the place of Isaac. Isaac was the one who had been bound. Isaac was the one who was to be slain. But no, we find that the lamb was the one that was sacrificed. And our Lord Jesus Christ took our place at Calvary. He was our great substitute. He died in the place of sinners, bearing the wrath and penalty of sin that we deserved. You see, our Savior willingly and voluntarily endured the cross to save us. What a great substitute he was. Do you realize it should have been you upon that cross? But yet, like Isaac, you were saved from that awful suffering and death upon the cross, the just reward for your sin, and the Lamb of God took your place. And then notice here as well that the lamb was sacrificed to God. Because you look there in verse 13 and take very careful note of those words. And offered him up for a burnt offering. Notice those words there. Offered him up for a burnt offering. You see, the sacrifice was made to God. That is very important to realize. And when we think of Christ, we realize that he offered himself up to appease the wrath of God and to put away sin. That is what it took to purchase your salvation. God's wrath had to be appeased. You see, God is the one who is offended by sin. And therefore the sacrifice must be made to God in order to satisfy divine justice, in order to release man from the guilt and condemnation of his sin. That is why the sacrifice is made to God. And we find in Ephesians 5 and the verse 2 that Christ's sacrifice pleased the Father. The sacrifice was made to God and God accepted it. And therefore you and I can be redeemed. What a provision of a Savior we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do these things not marvel your soul today? Are you not touched by the greatness and the extent that God has done to provide a Savior for you? If you sit here in this meeting untouched, cold of heart, these things do not affect you. How awful it is for you to be here and realize that this Savior who has provided such for you, and you turn your back upon him and you think nothing of it. You see, in Christ we can now approach the Lord, and his throne is a throne of grace to us because of the blood and because of the sacrifice, because of the Lamb. Mercy and grace is obtained through Christ. Are you going to reject all of that? Are you going to see this provision of God as the object of your scorn and ridicule? Because that's what men do in their sin. The only way, the only provision, the only lamb is rejected by sinners. And if you're unsaved here this morning, that is what you are doing. How awful. How dreadful to reject this great provision. I pray that you would not today. And believer, let me encourage you to turn to the Lord in your time of need. Because we've seen here, as Abraham knew, that the Lord will provide. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Amen.